listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome to episode 4, Cosmetic Tips for Mature Women.
Hi, everyone. As we're recording this, the world is experiencing the coronavirus pandemic. You know, I just do what comes easily, which is podcasting and a walk in the forest. I find the continuity reassuring, actually. Strength and beauty that get better with time. It's like us and our listeners, eh, Jorunn?
Oh, yes.
And on the trail, everybody's 4 feet apart, actually 6 feet. And I'm really surprised by the lift of just seeing a fuchsia ski jacket up ahead through the trees. Multicolored mittens are a happy scarf coming around a corner. And I drive home, reminded that health and hope are still around us. I invested in new trail boots. They're bright red. I'll include a picture.
I can't wait.
Let's enjoy some time together and talk about ways in which color just raises our spirits by being in our world with us. In episode 3, we talked about adapting our clothing colors in our mature years and the topic of silvering hair. Today, we're going to cover the various aspects of cosmetics, and we're going to follow this order: foundation, concealer, powder, eyebrows, eyes, cheeks, lips. Any thoughts, Jorunn, before we begin?
Yep. As usual, I just think our listeners deserve to know that none of us are makeup artists and that any and all advice we dish out here is purely based on our own experience of fiddling with makeup on ourselves and applying it on our clients as part of color analysis. And for my own part, I'm interested in makeup as it applies to making real women feel fresh-faced, not to use makeup to become red carpet camera ready.
I second this entirely. Makeup can be done at the level of artistry. Sure, it can. But my purpose for it is to quickly and easily just add a little polish. And I want to emphasize how easy it can be. I maintain it is finding the right color that's the hard part. I very rarely buy makeup because once we're in our season, the same blush, lip, brow, or eye products work with every outfit and every occasion. I use makeup to look awake. I wanted to define the features of my face as opposed to, you know, like a beige blanket with eyes. I just want to look a little more like Christine. I want to look steady, capable, strong, healthy, all of which are communicated better when features are crisp and visible. We're just literally easier to see.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Steady, capable, strong, and healthy. That's the Christine I know and appreciate.
Why, thank you. Well, yeah. Glad it's working.
It certainly is. My way of makeup is very simple, as will come as no complete surprise to anyone who knows me.
That's right. That's why I love you, Jorunn.
Thank you. And getting simpler all the time, actually. One of my criteria for applying makeup is not wanting people to notice the makeup. I want them to notice me. If people remember my lipstick more than they remember me, I think it's time for me to reconsider my choice of lipstick. And now for one of those opinionated opinions we're promising to dish out. Here's one for you. You ready, Christine?
I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm always ready.
Well, I'm actually talking to our listeners, and I'm thinking, if you're a mature woman thinking that you'd love to try makeup at this stage of your life, but you're nervous, I would say that if you've never done any makeup in your life before now, now is really the time to try.
Agreed, 100%. Here's another point to make. We're often asked if makeup is needed for season colors to work and improve our appearance. Not at all. You look better in your colors, whether you choose makeup or not. It's like with hair color or silver hair. We're not advocating for or against cosmetics. Just let's get your color right and in your season. It is far and away better than even the neighbor seasons. Neutrals, eyeshadow colors, they get more crossover. But when we're getting to the reds of blush and lipstick, your version, or as close as possible, is far and away the best. Let's start talking about foundation and concealer. Foundation's a lovely product. It evens out skin tone. So age spots, sunspots, very common surface veins, other discolorations are part of every face. Even sheer foundation helps to smooth things out. Autumns and winters seem to wear more opacity in foundation, a heavier product with a thicker pigment deposit without looking at all like a mask, the same way they can balance that kind of opacity in hair color. On these seasons, I apply foundation full strength with a brush or a sponge. By all means, if you prefer a sheer application, follow the spring and summer steps I'm coming to. Foundation's about finding the color first. When you do, the product is liquid gold. Color is the name of the game with this product. Application, you can always adjust. Summers and springs, I think a sheer application's more becoming, a tinted moisturizer. So I always divide full strength foundation 50-50 with moisturizer. All of these seasons, including soft autumn and bright spring. I love Paula's Choice Clear Invisible Gel Moisturizer. It's lightweight and it's colorless. And we'll add a link in the show notes to all the products that we talk about. So I start with full strength foundation as concealer. Apply it where you would put concealer. Then I mix the foundation with moisturizer and put it all over the face. You could use your sunscreen, but effective sunscreen needs a certain volume, like say a teaspoon to cover the face. Well, that might dilute the foundation too much. So I do sunscreen first, especially in the summer when I need more. There's one I like. It's watery, very fluid. It disappears. Foundation just goes right over the top.
I like that. I think mixing foundation with moisturizer is a super idea. And winters, handle opacity is what Christine says. But as a winter-spring blend, like I'm a bright winter, I find that I generally benefit from a transparency in makeup. Could be the spring influence or just my personal preference. I'm not really sure. And this might also be a good time to mention that winters have darker natural shading around the eyes, and others may also. And if you do, don't work too hard to even them with the rest of the face, because they will be minimized and united with the colors of the face when you wear your season's colors in clothes. Just like ruddiness and red flush in the skin, which can also be evened out just by wearing colors from your palette.
It's so true. Many people have uneven coloring parts of the face or face with the neck. But once they're in their colors, the disparities tend to be minimized or they're just not noticed by the viewer. So many women, you know, they wear correctors in various colors. Kind of look to me like a lot of work. Makeup then gets this reputation for being daunting. In a too cool color, well, you get bluer shadows. In certain other colors, a blemish might be a lot redder than it actually is. But the answer is not corrector. It is to get the clothing colors right. Now, on the other hand, I've watched certain primers do impressive things with pores and lines and smoothing the surface, and that can be terrific for mature skin. It only takes a moment. And again, I'll add a couple to the show notes that I think work really well.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. On the topic of discolorations in the face, though, I got to go back to hair color. It is a huge part of what color the skin appears to be. Skin can look healthy and clear, or especially with blonde hair next to certain types of skin colors, the face will appear flushed with red and oily in the center. Have you any thoughts about concealer, Joran?
Well, my thought is that I'm not
thinking. I don't use concealer.
Right. That's my thought about concealer.
Yeah.
I actually use foundation as my concealer, just like you do. You described it really well before. And whenever I've tried concealer, I've given up because it was just too much work. You know me. And the color was hard to find. And I do want to add, opinionated opinion again, that any foundation and concealer is great as long as it's not used as an alternative to wearing your best colors. I think are we repeating ourselves?
But it's very important. It's true though. It is just so, so
true.
Yeah.
Everybody can see it.
Yeah. One more time. Clothing in the wrong colors means you're using makeup to fix problems that you don't even have.
It is a fact. I give up on concealer too, as you said. It was just one more fussy thing to match that didn't match, and it was kind of cakey. Now, to be fair, some of them are terrific and they blend out beautifully, but you know, as an honorary Norwegian, I want makeup done fast. And I have these phobias about stretching my skin, especially around the eyes. So I use opaque foundation over sunscreen or mix with sunscreen all over my face. And that's it. Some women prefer concealer and powder and they skip foundation. That's okay. You make it work for you. I think our habits sometimes form around products that crossed our path that just did the job really well. I did a review recently of the foundation I currently use, and we'll link to it because it sure does a lot. Okay, let's go on to powder. So we want healthy skin, don't we? We don't want it dry to the point of being dull. We don't want it too shimmery. My foundation, it fills pores. It has good staying power. It sets fairly matte. And at 60, my skin's not as oily as it once was. Well, like those were my uses for powder. But it is useful at times. I use a flesh tone color when I film videos, for instance, the flesh tone being less chalky than a whiter product. And if I'm working and it's a long summer day, I definitely will use it to help makeup last.
Well, is there anyone you would particularly recommend dry or dulling powder to?
Oh, yeah. You know, sure, if the skin's still oily, by all means, use it to matte the surface. Texture affects how we see color. That is profoundly true. True, as true of fabric as skin. I love powder for summers. It leaves that real nice cottony finish, you know? Those colors, they're just beautifully rendered in that softer, drier type of reflectivity. It's a lot like the skin itself. I did some blog posts on Chrysalis a while back about a nice type of skin finish or polish for the skin in each of the seasons, and all of those will be in the show notes for you.
Yep, we'll return to those. Are there anyone that you might recommend all over shimmer to?
No. I don't see all over shimmer being useful. No shimmer than anyone would notice anyway. Maybe on a young person in the summertime. They have a very, very finely ground shimmer, but that would be about it. Another important and continuing use of powder, though, for everyone, is to allow dry formulation color cosmetics to blend. I like a high pigment concentration in powder cosmetics as opposed to, you know, pressed dust that you put it on and nothing really happens. You can barely see any color. That stuff drives me crazy. Dust. Yeah, it doesn't do anything, you know? What did I pay for? But with high intensity pigments, they can catch and grab if the skin is moist. And then, you know, it takes time. You got to fix it. And then it's uneven and red. And you can imagine how much I enjoy that. So a dusting of cheeks, where blush is going to go, or on the upper eyelid only. Best solution I know, so that the pigments diffuse and slide and blend as you're applying them. I got to say, though, for preventing creasing of eyeshadow, I think lid primers are better. And for all day makeup, you know, if I'm meeting clients, I use both primer and powder on the upper lid.
Well, I just want to go back to your blog posts, Christine, because I want to really recommend that the listeners look them up and read in detail about the right polish for the different season skins. I think those are excellent, excellent articles, and we'll make sure to link to those. And as we often talk about, Christine, it's interesting to see how different the two of us are. My approach is even easier, lazier maybe. I just use a cream eyeshadow that doesn't land in my crease, and then some darker eyeshadow along the lash roots. And next up is eyebrows. We must talk about eyebrows. And we'll start with a note to the young. If any young people are listening to this in an episode about makeup for mature women, never remove a single eyebrow hair unless you could sign a document certifying that you will never ever want it back for the next century, regardless of what happens to style. Don't ever remove brow hairs just to see how it looks. They won't grow back, really. Trust us. Trim them, fine. Give them a shape, super.
Yeah, I concur. It's really true. Be careful with just trying things out when it comes to eyebrows. The natural shape of eyebrows, it's configured to the bone structure of the face, like they were meant to go together. We've all seen tooth and eyebrows for a face, and the bone structure, it looks heavy. It looks blunted, even when it's not. So groom and shape them, but don't stray too far from the natural design. Well, okay, what does matter? At every age, continuity with the hair is huge. The viewer's eyes should go from the eyes to the brows up to the hair easily without feeling interruptions. Too often the hair's colored or it evolves and the brows get forgotten. Well, eventually they just don't belong with the face. They're too blue for the hair, or they look severe or dark. They don't have to be identical to hair. Usually they're not naturally. They just have to be believable for both of them to look real. They shouldn't catch the attention or separate from the face. They should look like they could have grown on the same tree. Sometimes, with the years, brows can get thinner, lighter, uneven. Mine have done all three. Well, fine, a simple fill-in of the shape, or just even out the thickness on the ends with a compatible color, makes such a difference to frame the face, and nobody would know. Use your natural color as a guide because it's your most normal looking color, the one that's evolved with you over the years, the one that just belongs with your face. It's another reason to stay close to home when you choose your hair color or keep some of your natural hair color visible. I like a powder and wax separate, actually. What are your thoughts?
Well, I use a simple eyebrow gel, which is kind of a wax and powder combined, I think. It's kind of like a colored wax. And then in an angled eyebrow brush to apply it. And I find that pretty easy to use. And just like foundation, you have to get the color right first and foremost. It doesn't matter what kind of product, if you use powder, wax, brow gel, or a simple eyebrow pencil. And don't worry about making the two eyebrows looking exactly the same. In my mind, they're sisters, not twins. And while we're at it, let's throw in a warning about not going too dark. As you said, Christine, the eyebrow color should be compatible with the hair color. And I'd like to add that as we age and the color grows softer, the brow color should be gentler also. I use a grayer tone of brown for my brows now than I used to use when my hair was dark brown.
Makes me think of a question that I think would apply to many of our listeners. What do you do when the brows become silver?
Yes, what to do? Because we do want our brows to be visible. So I would say keep filling them in. And finding brow color for silver brows, it can be difficult, but it's possible. Just look for lighter, more towards a light gray taupe or light ash brown. And it would look really artificial to keep the brows super dark if the hair coloring is completely silver white.
There's another note about brows. The hair can become random in growth direction. The silver can affect the texture. You know how silver hair on the head can grow in wiry? So if you don't want to add a color, no problem. Try a clear wax, flattens them, and it holds the shape.
Yes, I have to giggle because my brows are so bushy. And as
don't look it.
My hair grows silvery, it runs in the family. It's I come by it very honorable.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what they say, isn't it? In English?
Either one would work. Honestly. Either one's good.
Anyway, my hair is a little more wiry and so are my brows, and they are like bushy little caterpillars. And I think clear wax is really, really good. I use it. And that would be really good for silver brows, actually. It adds a little shine and it darkens them a little bit. And even just a little hair gel on a clean mascara wand could tame the brow and deepen the silver. And now let's go on to eyes. Many mature women don't wear my eye makeup because they get irritated eyes. And skin folds make product smudge. And it is very okay to do nothing with the eyes. And as you know, in our age, most of us wear eyeglasses. So why not spend some time choosing some wonderful frames? Because they will frame the eyes in a great way, even without makeup. Kind of this, our new motto should be glasses are the new eye makeup.
For many women,
and yeah. Many of us continue. Yeah, sure. I think so. Many of us continue with blush and lipstick and leave out eye makeup entirely.
Something that I didn't mention in the last episode came to mind, which was the last episode, the silver hair conversation we had, was that once the hair silvers, the eyes just take center stage in the face. I always think it's crazy how wonderful and huge they seem. I mean, they were always colorful, but just based on surface area, it's really hard for eyes to compete with the larger area of hair color. And even more so if the hair is carrying the intensity of dye. As the hair becomes less colored and it starts to back up in our awareness, well, the eyes get more colored. Did you read the blog post, To Gray or Not Gray, by Debbie Rushworth, our analyst in New Brunswick in Canada? Perfect example of the eye color jumping when the hair gets out of the way. In person these days, Debbie looks like this kind of silver person with emerald eyes is quite something. A lot of women look better than ever once their hair silvers. I'd actually put you in that category, Joren.
Oh, thank you. Yes, and her article, Deb's article, is fantastic. And we will link to that too in the show notes. But before we leave eyes, one word, mascara. Find a mascara that doesn't smudge and you're good to go. We've linked to Beautypedia, where we will link to it. And that's a super place to find reviews of skincare and cosmetics. And we will also link to our personal favorites of mascara, in case anyone's interested. And if your eyes can tolerate it, perhaps just a little dark eyeshadow applied just along the top lash line, you know, just to darken the lash line and make the eyelashes appear thicker and the eyes brighter. Not eyeliner. Some find that eyeliner is a little hard to apply. I think it's a little difficult, at least. So just use a bit of dark eyeshadow applied like eyeliner, applying it from above the lashes with an eyeliner brush so that it doesn't get fluffed off the brush, or use a dark cream eyeshadow.
Yeah, it could be gray, could be teal, could be any color that you like, neutral
burgundy,
or not. Burgundy. Yeah,
purple.
Whatever works in your season is great. Okay, mm-hmm. On to cheeks. Cheeks are easy, and what a difference color makes. Blush is—it's just so good to add energy. Help eye color intensify and shine for winters who may not have a lot of facial color. Springs come alive with this product. Summers bloom just beautifully, and autumns can reach heights of elegance. Lighter application, I think, is part of the answer here. Just use half the pressure on the brushes for all cosmetics on mature faces. You're looking for an airbrush or a diffusion effect.
All good. Nothing to add here. Actually, I do have something to add. Surprise, surprise. A word about placement of the blush. You know how they say to smile and then add the blush where your cheekbone is highest? Well, the problem is if you apply the blush there while you're smiling, then when your smile drops, so does the blush. And the older we get, the further it drops.
Yeah, it's like everything else, right? Are we in this heavy gravity bubble? Kind of all alone here. Where did everybody go?
Yes, I don't know.
Oh, the fun of it.
Yes, well, I can attest to that. Anyway, so I made a video where I show my super simple makeup routine, including how I apply blush to my cheeks. And we'll link to that in the show notes also.
I love that video because it shows you Joren just looking more like Joren. That's all it is. So, you know, here's a Christine opinion. Joren may be thinking politely, as Joren always does, would you be quiet?
Will you shut up?
Early in my career, a client once said to me, older women don't get service in stores. I thought that was interesting. And she's not wrong, you know, with silvery hair, evenly light beige skin, undefined eyes, silvery blue clothing, well, any shape would be less visible. Okay, fine, the young have their appearance challenges, we've got ours. But she came to the right place, a soft, peachy coral top. I think she was a light summer. Touch of blush, brow, her favorite clip holding her hair. She was lovely, easy to see, which made me think, oh, okay, so this is a choice. And this is why we use makeup. All right, lips. Lipstick is the easiest cosmetic of all, once you got your color, in case we haven't mentioned that. If you can apply balm, you can apply lipstick. Matte, opaque lips may be best on the young, but as with hair color overall, autumns and winters can do better with opaque color. Too safe, you know, and I might as well not be there. It just doesn't do anything. Summers look better with less heavy color deposits. And springs, they're gorgeous in clear, transparent, shiny colors. Lots of pigment, just transparent. Thick or heavy effects can be less becoming. It's individual though. In any season, certain faces can have intense eyes or dramatic architecture, and getting wimpy in makeup just doesn't serve. It doesn't do anything. Some faces acquire a lot of power with time, and delicate makeup, it creates this dainty, careful effect that just doesn't ring true. Opacity might be better to deliver the impact that balances that face in person. You know, it's been interesting doing this show, how different Joran's and my approaches are to makeup. Shows there's many ways to get this to work. Contradict what I just said, actually, about only autumns and winters wearing long wear matte lipstick. I like it on everybody, all seasons, all ages, to deliver what it says, long wear or leave a lasting stain. Christine's mission, remember, is to spend as little time as possible applying makeup. So coat your lips in the product. On its own, oh yes, it's dry, it's matte, it's uneven, heavy, but do it anyways. Don't fuss about getting it even, just as long as it's inside the lip line. Let it sit a few minutes, establish the stain, and then coat the lips with balm or gloss, whatever you prefer. Squeeze the lips together to spread the color around. Blot, adjust to as natural or impacting effect as you like. Et voila, you have lips on your face till lunchtime. Just add balm to refresh every hour or so. No mirror necessary. A lip liner is worth talking about. We have more lines in the lip edge. It's just the way it is. And creamy lip color migrates out past the edge into the skin. Well, liner seals that edge. And when it's good, it is awesome. L'Oreal used to make a terrific one called Infallible. Rose was as close to my lip colors I've ever found. So I bought 25 of them, knowing they were going to be discontinued. Sure enough, within the year, gone, but not forgotten. I hope not to need this product till they bring it back. Should be about 6 years, you know, they'll circle back under a new name. Nowadays, many of the long wear lip liners, I find they're too colored. They're too opaque. They couldn't look like natural skin if they tried. So I'm asking as a friend, if our listeners have favorites, please share it, because we would all love to hear.
Well, Christine would love to hear.
Yeah. Yes, Christine would love to hear, yes.
She probably ordered 25 of her favorites.
Right, what'll I do when they run out?
I don't know. So please, please, everybody.
Yes, please.
Come with her. Save Christine. Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not a lip liner person, as you might surmise. So, but in the spirit of Nordic simplicity, I would like to say that if you find the perfect color lipstick, it will always be your perfect blush color as well. And in my book, it's never wrong to take a little bitty bit of lipstick on your fingertips and rub it on the top of your cheekbones for a simple, fresh flush of color. What do you think, Christine? Do you think the makeup police will come and get me for saying that?
They can try. They wouldn't have a case. It is the truth. Another advantage, you know, just a touch of lip color is it draws the viewer's attention, as color does. You walk into a garden, you see the greenery, the shrubs, the trees, and one flower. Where do your eyes go? They go straight for the flower. Color attracts us. We're like bees. Well, more lines around the mouth, sunspots, got plenty of both in my skin. giving the eye somewhere else to go in the most gracious and natural way is so effective. Healthy and easy, gorgeous and fearless. That's us.
Yep, that's us. Gorgeous and fearless and opinionated. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us in 2 weeks' time for the next episode. The topic will be capsule wardrobes.